This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrills the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Well, you may not care about history, you may not care about me, but you have tuned into Long Island's only automotive talk show where we care about you, Motormouth Radio, with your hosts Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. How you doing, Chris?
Rock, rock, rock away, beach. Rock, rock, rock away, beach. Rock, rock, rock away, beach. I can't stop, Ray. Yeah. Rock, rock, rock and roll. I can't hose me down. I can't stop.
A different song. From your neighborhood, though.
Yes, yes. pretty much, yeah. I think I knew some of those guys.
Yeah.
And avoided them. Yeah. How are you, my brother? How was the week that was?
Excellent. It's catching up with things. We're doing all sorts of stuff. We had a great day. And I have to say, Motormouth Radio is officially vetted by the guys at the UD.
Oh, really? How come? What didn't we do?
Spent some time yesterday down there with Kevin, Kilowatt yeah. Kevin.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, spent some time with Doug and Johnny, and Billy Velvet showed up.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And just kind of shot the breeze and did some stuff, caught up with, just business and life, stuff like that. Right. Had a good time. So
cool. Very good. And the guys were saying, that show you do really stinks, doesn't it? They were saying, they're like, hey, Ray, why do you do that silly show?
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. No, it's cool. You know, it's funny because I had a strange week. I got caught in the dealership vortex.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was one of those. I got one of those notices saying that you have to bring your car in for some sort of silly recall. So I had to bring the police special into the Ford dealership where I casually said, hey, you know, could you just check the wheel bearing? I said, I think I'm hearing a whoop, 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 whoop. And because the car is, I don't know whether it is because the car is four-wheel drive or not, but I tried to check the wheel bearings the old-fashioned way. You know, you get the car off the ground, at least one wheel off the ground, and, you know, you do the bump and jive with the wheel. You kind of pull it back and forth and sideways to see if you can get that bearing to move. But because it's kind of well packed in there, you really can't do that. At least I found I couldn't on the Explorer. So I said, you know what? I'll pay the diagnostic, whatever it is. Just check it out. And he says, yeah, sure, no problem. Gave him the keys. Oh, mind you, I gave him a key and he looked at it. I'm like, it's not a fob. The key. He's looking at it like, what is this? It's like he handed him a rotary phone, you know? What is this? So so I leave, get a call, and I get the grim call. Dun-dun!
Oh, no.
Mr. Switzer, yeah, this is the dealership. Ah, yeah, hi, how are you? What's going on? Well, you know, we checked out your car, and we found that the right wheel bearing is very, very bad. Very bad. Very bad. I wouldn't drive this car home, sir. I would trailer it home, sir. Very bad. You know, wow. You got one of those cryptic type of. Then he went on. He said, well, we found that you had two leaks in the timing case cover. Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
And then you have a leak in the valve cover gasket. Dun, 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 dun. And then we found that two tires are less than 3/32 of tread life. Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
And then we see that your struts in the front. Dun, 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 dun.
And on it went.
And on it went. So, yeah. So I was like, look, Haas, hold on. I said, I had to like reel him back. I said, this is not a Ferrari. This isn't a 308 GTB, sir. This is a truck. I use it thusly.
Right.
I said, I haul leaves, bags of leaves from my garden and twigs, bring them to the dump and come back with it. I says, I'm not taking long journeys. I'm not pulling Airstream trailers with this thing.
Good thing.
So, yeah, good thing. So, you know, you have to do the quick tally in your head and you have to go, okay, what is the most crucial thing and what can you do yourself? Now, it's not that I'm thinking he's lying to me. He's not. I'm sure he's not. That's not his job. So what I said, okay, do the bearing. Just do the bearing. Because A, I don't want to start working on suspension stuff. Not now, if I can help it. And B, I tried to pull the rear bearings out of that thing, and it is a chore. I literally went through life-threatening prying with sledgehammers and crowbars to get those things, and I couldn't do it. So, and mind you, he gave me that tale of woe as well. He said, well, if we can get it out of the yoke, then it'll only cost you this amount of money. Dun, 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 dun.
Rear bearings can be ultimately harder than front bearings.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So I'm going to have them do the wheel bearing, and then I will take the rest of the jobs as they come along. But I have to laugh because he said that I have leaks. I don't have a single stain in my driveway. And what makes me laugh even more was the reason I said to him, I said, look, there's not a single stain. You can come over and take a look. There's not a stain in my driveway. And he goes, well, all the shields that are under there have a way of sopping up all the leaks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, really? That's news to me. So I was caught in the drama of the dealership this week. So I thought maybe I'd share that little tale of woe. So a simple recall, and this is, we know this. We've talked about this on this show. A simple recall can turn into a $1,000 job for a dealership. And you know what?
Good.
If they're good, exactly. And then the funny thing was, I said, okay, what wheel bearings are you going to put in there? And he said, Ford wheel bearings.
Right, right.
I said, well, Ford doesn't make their own wheel bearings. Are you going to use Timken's? We're going to use Ford. Yeah.
The round ones.
The round.
If you're lucky, sir.
Yeah. But I got the greatest deadpan response.
That's great.
It was awesome. It was awesome. We're going to use Ford wheel bearings, sir. Okay, that's great. Thanks for telling me. So, yeah.
Oh, geez.
That was my response.
Well, right. I have another question. It's kind of like a quiz to swizz type of thing.
Ooh.
I was working on a 64 Caddy at the shop earlier in the week.
Yes. Oh, now, you sent pictures. I was loving them. Yes.
The just getting it ready to start. So it was fluids and things like that. And I got to radiator, put water in the radiator, power steering fluid, and then said, let me fill the transmission.
Okay.
So I noticed the transmission dipstick, instead of being curled in a nice tight bend, was kind of opened up a little. And I tried to extract it and couldn't. And I was pulling and pulling and pulling. The oil dipstick had been tight also.
Hmm.
Finally, I asked Mike, do me a favor, put a hand on this. I said, maybe my arthritis is hurting. And he's, yeah, no problem. Went and grabbed it confidently. And then I saw him leaning over and tugging, 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 tugging. He couldn't get it out either. I'm like,
The transmission dipstick could not be removed from the tube.
Correct.
Whoa.
So I raised the car and said, let me remove the tube from the transmission and work on this on the bench.
Yes.
Now, that car has an interesting transmission tube. instead of being like other GMs where the tube goes into the body with an O-ring, right, this one has a big nut that's like an inch and sixteenths size,
mm-hmm, right,
that you have to remove. What I did. Then I took the tube out, put it on the bench, couldn't get the stick out. I put a tie rod, a pickle fork behind it.
Really?
And I smacked it until it came out.
And then what did it look like?
Well, you know, it was just, it has like a little umbrella cap that goes over the tube.
Yeah.
And I said, well, maybe that's crushed or deformed. I looked at it, looked fine. I played with it a little. I went to put it back on. So I found the mystery, because then I after I figured it out, I went in the office and I had the tube on my left side like a sword and a scabbard.
Yeah.
And I said, Mike, look, and I grabbed the stick and I went to pull on it and it was stuck. He's like, yeah, tell me something I don't know. And right, then I did what I had to do with that, and then I pulled it straight out. And he was like, what? And I put it back in. I took my hand away. I grabbed it again and I couldn't pull it out. And then I grabbed it again and I took it out. So the question is, the trivia is, on that early Cadillac, what's the secret to get the dipstick out?
It wasn't a turn.
I didn't have like dimples.
It didn't have like dimples like a 1157 bulb where you had to turn it and then pull it out.
You know what? The guys that do right. Dougie said, "Oh, Chris will know that." On the top of that cap, it said in little letters, "Twist."
Twist.
You kind of push and turn, and then it releases.
Yeah.
And you have to put it in and push it again. And you never see that.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Whose idea, for extra points, whose idea was that?
I have no clue, my son. But now that you mention it, you are correct. There was a little dimple, like an 1157, like a channel around the top edge of the transmission tube. You're right.
Oh,
you're right. I would have done the same. Believe me, I would have done the same thing if you hadn't prompted me.
I
would have been pulling out. I would have had the dipstick out too, the transmission dipstick out too. Believe me.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think I told you this. I've gotten calls from people that they know I've owned six of these things. They know I've had them. I've eaten, drank, and slept these cars. You know, mm-hmm. It's that every single kernel of information in my head, and every time I get called, I need to know, like we talked about earlier in a couple of episodes, I need to know what the dwell angle is on a 67 429. I'm like, how in the world do I know? That's why there are manuals.
28 and to 32.
I was going to say, and you're going to come up with the answer just like that. But yeah, it's the truth. It's amazing how much information you're able to absorb. And as time goes on, little trickles of it just fall away.
Right.
But what I had left was, you had sent a picture of you were working on the top of the motor, you had the valve cover off, and I saw like the car's got cruise. I saw the cruise unit in there, and I saw like all the options that were in the car. And I was like, whoa, this car's pretty loaded. And so the air conditioning compressor and all that good stuff. And also I wanted to tell you, speaking of a little bit of information that I do know, how is, because this car hasn't run in a while, please check the gas pedal.
Okay.
Behind the gas pedal is a pot metal hinge. Uh-huh. The gas pedal isn't it's hinged at the bottom.
Yes.
And if the car sits for a while, you go and push down on that pedal, you could take the whole the pedal, the rod, the shaft that the hinge runs with, basically that the hinge holds down, that hinge and the rod fuse together. Now you push down on that pedal, and what happens is that pot metal hinge will now break apart because it's fused to the gas pedal. And next thing you know, you push the pedal down and it stays down. So you go and start the car, pedals all the way down to the floor, and you're going to get this thing lighting up like a Christmas tree. So you really should check and maybe even put a drop of oil or something like that onto the pedal, onto that little affair before you even attempt to start the car, because those things will really bite you in the butt. And it happened to me. I was on my 63 Cadillac. I had we had the car brought back from a it was in an open lot, and we brought the car into the driveway, and I started pumping the pedal, and the pedal started to turn to mush.
Okay.
But I hit the key anyway, and it started, and after not running for like 4 or 5 years, the car went from zero to like 9,000 RPM. And all I saw was my dad's head pop out. Go! I saw this mouth moving, and I thought a lot of F's and K's were coming out of his mouth, and I'm like, let me shut this off.
I'll tell you what, for now, we're still not at that point. We're still working it from the under the hood.
Oh, okay, good. But just a point, just a small little point of contention on that car, because they do have some strangeness. They do certainly have some strangeness, and I'm glad you're keeping me roped into this, because I really appreciate the back and forth going on with okay. this car. You have some headphones issues, I see.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good.
We're working on it.
All righty.
That's it. Yeah, we have a little bit of a delay thing going on in the studio, so I'm hearing myself like delayed.
Oh, that's irritating.
It's weird.
Yeah, that's very irritating. I don't think it's a headphone issue. It's probably a source issue. I can see Kimmy's working.
So anyway,
what?
Yeah, we're going to be speaking with Mr. Carl Anthony today at about 12:30, bottom of the hour.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And if you want to get in before that, give us a buzz at 516-572-7440.
Yes, that is the number. That is the number to get a hold of us here at Motor Mouth Radio. Right. 516-572-7440. Write it down.
Yeah.
So I had left. I was on the road. Speaking of which, I was on the road with the truck and with the old police truck, and I got a little bit a dose of my own medicine on the highway today. This weekend. I was on the road, and I'm on the highway, I'm on the Merritt, and I see a guy chasing me really quickly with another Explorer, and he's coming up real fast, and he's got the light on the A-pillar, he's got the searchlight, and he has the push bars, and I'm like, this is a police car. I didn't see a top bar, so I went and got over. I get over to the granny lane to let him go by, because he's motivating. He's moving. I'm figuring he's on the job. And he comes zooming up to me and stops right next to my police car, my Interceptor. And now we're both going down the Merritt Parkway together, the same. We're both going down. And he looks at me. He gives me the thumbs up. Meanwhile, I'm like pooping my pants here because I'm thinking he's a cop. And he's lining up with me. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. And I look over and it's this guy. He's giving me, hey, you got an old police car too. Hey.
He was another one of you.
Yeah. So I was like, will you get out of here, you crazy knucklehead?
Yeah. Oh, now that sounds a little better.
I don't hear you at all.
Okay. So yeah, so that was the joy of driving a police car and getting a dose of my own medicine, because I was getting scared.
Right. You know, now that I'm driving a bigger vehicle, I also have the joys of driving a bigger vehicle. And I see that, you know, people now can't see around, through, or past me, which is kind of cool. So you get the people who, the knuckleheads, will tailgate you. And I got the cruise set at, whatever, 62, 64. So, and I know there's a clear lane ahead of me. And I know how frustrating it is, because you see the guy dart around and come around, and he'll see, like, oh, there was no one in the lane.
So you're the problem.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, sorry, bud, cruise control was on. So that's the way that goes. But
right.
I did find out, you remember last week I told you about doing my spark plug maintenance and how bad they were.
Sure. You said you had two different brands of spark plugs in that thing.
Two different brands, and they were both, the gaps on the plugs, on all of them, were around 72, 73 thousandths, where they should be only about 43.
Right, you can get your elbow in there.
Oh, that's yeah, ridiculous. So I noticed right away that the vehicle just drives better, and I could see I was using a little less gas. I could just tell the gas gauge wasn't moving as fast. So yesterday I top it off again. I usually fill it about a half a tank, which is what I did. And I'm a gallon to two clean 1 to 2 miles per gallon better already.
With great.
Just doing a spark plug change. So
very cool.
It is a maintenance item that people should pay attention to. Like, I'm going to do my daughter's SUV because even though it runs fine, just like mine did, you wouldn't know there was never an issue. I don't know how many miles are on those plugs, so I'm just going to change them.
Yeah, just change them. Yeah. What's the mileage on the Toyota? On the little Toyota?
It's about 100 and... What is hers, the RAV4? It's 100 and maybe 100 and...
Oh,
1420 something. So they could be original, just like mine. They could be.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
You know, once you pass six digits on a, you may have a little bit of trouble getting the plugs out of the head. But I hope you don't.
I didn't have problems with mine in an aluminum head. They came out okay. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with the RAV.
It's that first grab. As soon as you get the socket in there and you clinch down on the handle and you're going to start to make that push, and that you listen intently for any sort of crunching noise, any sort of stepping on cornflake type of sound.
Right.
You don't want to hear that.
No.
You don't want to hear those noises.
No, there's a couple of different strategies for working on that, but there's a lot of finger crossing, of course, when you do that too.
Always. That's for sure, always.
All right, well, we're going to go to the phones and go to the fun.
Alrighty.
Let's go to the phones and say, hi, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Ray, it's Glenn. How are you guys? I called the wrong number.
Yes. We use our alternate number in the past, but yeah, we're on the studio line today. Yeah, what's happening, Glenn?
How are you, Glenn?
Scraping and cleaning. How are you, Chris? I guess you bought a new Ford.
You what?
You're a dealer. You bought a new Ford. When you go there, they make you sign a waiver. You're going to lose your life if you leave with bad tires or strut, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. He was – I was waiting for him to grab a hold of, like, you know, a belt loop or something on my pants and go, please don't go. Please.
Yeah, you can't leave. You got to buy a new vehicle.
You're going straight into the fire, sir. You can't go. Yeah, it was one of those. It was very dramatic. I was welling up.
Yeah, my call would be the same. They'd say, no, you can't leave due to this, due to that. But that's what happens. So, yeah, I'm cleaning parts today. I'm trying to get my spring in. And I'm trying to just scrape, clean, paint, hoping, well, tomorrow will be by the weather, I hope.
Today isn't really too much rain. So you're doing, just to clarify for people, you're doing the rear leaf springs on your 69 Camaro.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. That's a joke.
I haven't touched those ever.
Wow. So how was it?
I take that back. Once, I think.
Now, I know that you're on the ground on jack stands. So how is it under there with the, I mean, the shackle bolts, they got to be what, like 3/4 inch socket type head bolts or?
It was like that carriage style, like the OEM stamped with, the square head that went into the original bracket.
Okay.
The other side was an 11/16, so I got in there, broke them free, and then used my ratchet wrench.
Okay.
So they cleared the gas tank, which was good.
Yeah, that's nice. The problem is, we did some work like that on one of the Mustangs a couple of years ago at the shop to change bushings, and it ended up torch. Get the torch out and cut the bolts, burn out the bushings. Nothing was moving.
Yep.
But then again, that's a Ford. You're working on a Chevy.
Well, I'm surprised. Everything came apart.
Nice.
Wow.
So I got all the bushings out, the ones in the frame. I went with Hotchkiss for the new springs. There's a noticeable difference in height, just let's say laying on the ground next to one another.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those bushings are, I guess they're pre-installed. In other words, in the spring eye itself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So saves you a big step. Yeah, sure.
So I'm just hoping all I want is better, in other words, when I'm cruising, just a little more overall, the better ride, but also for safety.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was the malady you were looking to fix or get rid of?
The car feels like it's all over the place.
It wallows.
Yeah. So, okay. And I sent you that one picture. All of those straps are broken that hold the actual spring together. Ooh. Whether or not these are good, I don't know. Like, could they be used again? But I have a feeling that, the back of the car is all over the place.
Right.
And not to say the front, too, because same thing. power steering, I think that box needs to be replaced. So I have work to do, but I'm finally just getting to it because I said, I want to do this now. Use the car.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something, Glenn. One of the first jobs I did at the shop a couple of years ago was a steering box in a 69 Camaro. And a car with headers, I am not anxious to do that job again. Yeah, I had to take the left side header off.
I wouldn't doubt it.
It was a pain in the neck.
Yeah, and then possibly I would take everything apart. You got to pull the pitman arm and...
Well, yeah, I mean, the pitman comes off with the you take the pitman arm off with the box, but you do have to remove the centerling from it. In a Camaro, I was used to working on A bodies where the box is further down the chassis, line, and the Camaro is further up the scale. It's up by the center of the motor.
Yeah, it's all there, and in fact, I think my tie rods and the center link, it's all very close to the headers. It's
right.
That's why they made hammers.
Yeah,
you don't want to hit the stuff, but you got to dent and make it kind of fit.
I mean, I guess it depends on the actual tube size, but the car I was working on didn't have huge tubes, and it was just a matter of like a fraction, like maybe a 16th of an inch clearance of getting this box out. And you can't go denting a guy's header without him knowing it. So it was okay. Loosen. I mean, the header didn't come fully out of the car; it just had to get loosened from the head and maneuvered so you had more room.
Yeah,
but
that'll be after I get the back done.
Right.
I've got to decide on what brand of shocks. I didn't get any yet. So this is just to pull everything apart, see if I need any new things, which so far everything else is good.
I've done a bunch of suspension stuff in the last few years with stuff like that. I got a few recommendations I could pass your way. I mean, if you're spending, everything costs about the same no matter what manufacturer, but...
I know. That's what I was thinking. You probably have some good ideas. I can't see just getting a little whatever monotube shock. I'd rather get something a little bit better and, again, improve drivability. And we'll see what happens. I'm sure it's going to be much better than what it was. These old bushings are shot.
Oh, sure.
What's laying on the floor here. So.
Yeah. Ultimately. Excellent.
Let me get back to painting. I know you said you got a call coming in.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest in a couple of minutes. All right, Glenn, thanks for the call and the update.
All right, be well.
All right.
Soon.
Talk to you soon. So long.
Bye-bye, Glenn.
All right, that was
I'm looking at the pictures that you sent of Glenn's Camaro. Very nice car, by the way.
Oh, it is.
But the leaf springs are completely falling apart. No wonder why the car was all over the place.
Yeah.
So do you want to take a break before we bring in Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.com?
Yeah, we're on schedule, so of course we need to know if we have an honor group of the hour.
Of course we do.
Dougie is waiting, so tell us, what is it?
All righty. Here we go, Dougie, the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour this week. If you conduct family business in the garage, how about that? If your kid can't decide if he wants to take up medicine or cat juggling, well, discuss it in the garage. If your wife wants to redo the bathroom or make a family room out of the garage, well, go and discuss it in the garage. If you want to know what the heck to do with Grandpa, discuss it in the garage. So if your garage is for storing junk, working on cars, and making major family decisions, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor group of the hour. There you go, my friend.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm sure it's approved by everyone everywhere. That's excellent. All right. So with that, I think we're going to get a little candy break here in the rain because I need a little sweets to get past the little technical difficulties we had here in the studio. So we'll do that with some rock candy, and then we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College. Also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
This is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
It is really, you know as well as
all
anybody.
All right, we're back. Motormouth Radio with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and I think we have a guest in our queue.
Indeed.
We do. Yes.
Hey, guys, good to be back.
Carl Anthony, automoblog.com, .net. .net.com.org.
We're old.
I keep saying it wrong anyway. .net.
I just tell everybody to type it into Google and we'll come up, because that's what all the young people do today. Just type it into Google and I'm sure we'll show up.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's exactly what I did. Even though I'm not young, it's exactly what I did. I just typed in, and it came right up.
I tell you what. People could also go to motormouthradio.com, where we have a prominent link to Automoblog there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very prominent.
I always enjoy our Twitter conversations back and forth, and I always say that our Motormouth Radio crew is in two studios. There's the studio on Sunday, and then there's the studio that is the shop during the week. So I always love our Twitter conversations. Which studio are the Motormouth guys in this week? Well, Sunday is in the station, but during the week, they're in the shop, and it's always an adventure.
Yeah, if you saw the shop I was in yesterday, I was at the UD, which you've heard us talk about, the undisclosed location in Queens.
Ooh, okay.
And, that's a place like no other. That's a place that every car guy should have a chance to visit at least once.
Sure,
and,
sure.
It is cool. It's just a bunch of guys who rent spaces in a garage. It's a facility. It's a building. It's not like a garage, like a house garage. It's a real building garage.
Right.
With a boatload of cars in there. So, you know, guys do work, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Lots of storytelling, beer drinking, and all sorts of stuff.
Ray, I've been meaning to ask you, because I've been following the story with the FJ, and now that we're here on the air, what's the latest with the FJ? And I've been loving the pictures of you parking on the snow piles, but what's the latest with the FJ?
Well, like I said, the latest has been, I cleaned it up, driving. It was the spark plug change, and I don't know if you heard me talk about it with Chris. Last week I said I did a change, and I found that the plugs were all gapped at like 73 thousandths. I'll send you some pictures. Very bad.
Yeah, please.
There were three Densos in there, three NGKs. I think the Densos were original with 130,000 miles on them.
Sure.
But the truck ran like a charm. Started fine. Didn't hesitate. Performed. But I did feel like the thing that got me going was my daughter's RAV4, which is a four-cylinder, which I drove the day before, just felt like it kind of got up and scooted and moved a little, you know, nimbly, let's say. And the FJ felt like I was like punching a hole through the air. It was like, move, air.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something. I changed the plugs in the FJ, and I went for a drive, and as soon as I hit the gas, the thing jumped. I was like, you gotta be kidding. Now it's driving nimbly. Now it's slipping. And I picked up like about 2 miles per gallon.
So, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Little something.
It makes all the difference in the world.
And that's why I just read a thing on Motor Magazine's feed yesterday. It was a little quiz. It was an ASE quiz, which I find I have good luck with those things. I should get the patch. You know, I really should. And it was like, with spark plugs, can bad spark plugs cause like bad idling, poor performance, and bad gas mileage, or all the above? I'm like, yeah, all the above, of course. I just proved it. And sure as shooting, that was the answer.
Yep. You know, it's that age-old advice sometimes is still the best advice. When I was growing up, it was always, well, you change your oil and you rotate your tires. And then beyond that, you do the tune-up at 100,000 miles and you make sure to stay on top of your spark plugs and you make sure to stay on top of your filters and your fluids, and your vehicle would, quote unquote, run forever. And we get asked quite a bit, well, you know, vehicles are more technologically advanced. They have more computers in them. And I always say, but under the hood, there's still mechanical components that require good lubrication. You still have mechanical components. So it just as your dad or your grandpa would tell you, change your oil, rotate your tires, stay on top of your fluids. And you're right. Like, yeah, something like spark plugs, you don't think about it, but that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the thing that got me is when manufacturers in the 90s came out with the 100,000-mile spark plug.
Yeah,
I remember on my Impala, I saw that. I'm like, who are they kidding? 100,000-mile coolant and spark plugs? Get out of here. You know, I'm coming from the 25 to 3,000-mile oil change and the twice-a-year spark plug change mentality. And although I was not up to speed with the new electronics, let's say, at the time, I certainly have, you know, moved forward. But I do see that. Even in my Mazda that had iridium plugs in it, it was 100,000 miles. I changed them at 54,000 just because I was going to take a road trip with my wife. And I said, you know, it's cheap insurance. Let me just do it. And and they look brand new. But, hey, and that's the thing. When you make a change and you don't miss a beat, everything is the same as it was before, it's hard to sell that to a customer. You know,
Indeed. It is. Indeed. And I know, like, even with the fluid stuff, they say, well, you know, you can go 100,000 miles and stuff. And when I was a service advisor, we had gotten a good habit of about every 50,000 miles for if your vehicle's at 50,000 miles or 5 years and you hadn't done it yet, it was a good idea to at least do your coolant, your transmission fluid. And then on the next oil change, we'll catch your brake fluid and your power steering fluid. And we would explain the same kind of thing, Ray, is just, hey, at the time I was living in South Dakota. So I would say, well, winters are really harsh here. And we don't have a normal driving environment. We have hot summers. We have cold winters. That affects performance. That is hard on vehicles. And so it's cheap insurance. I mean, it was a few hundred dollars to flush all this stuff. But I can remember we would have some of those Saturns, like a Saturn View. We had one time come in and the Saturn Ion, and, you know, the 70, 80,000 miles in these. Unfortunately, the customers had never touched the fluid, and you would drain that transmission fluid out of there, and it was completely black. It was as black as that motor mouth radio jacket you have on there, Chris. You know, but it was like
just as dirty,
just as dirty. But it was, you would drain the transmission. You know, they come in, well, it's not driving right, it's shifting funny, something seems odd. So you would do the diagnostic work, you would look at the history, never had done a flush or fluid exchange, and then you would drain the fluid, and it was like tar. It would come out in the pan. Oh. And you're like, well, that was the issue, you know. And it was 70,000 miles, 75,000 miles, probably preventable had 20,000 miles earlier you just done the transmission fluid. So I know what the manufacturers say. I know what the owner's manual say, and you can follow your owner's manual. Ray, I'm with you. I'm still like, you know what? I'd rather do it just a little early.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
I have to say, you know, and Joe had always said, new, what does new mean? You know, never ever worked.
Never ever worked.
You know, with us, it's like, well, I guess you could say that's neck. It's like never ever changed.
Right.
I don't know. So,
right.
In fact, you know what? I'm gonna let the man do it himself. Let's hear from Joe himself. Here we go.
Guys, we all know what new spells.
Never ever worked.
That's right.
There you go. That's right, Joe. You taught us a great lesson with that.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
You know, conversely, I did the transmission fluid in my daughter's RAV and in the FJ, and they were both, you know, when you check fluid and it's that dark, that grayish color, and you know it should be, okay, so we're getting this. I think they were original as well. But what I did was later on, I did a little pathology. I took apart the filters. I actually took them home and separated them and looked at the inside screen media to see how bad they were. And I'll tell you something, they were not bad at all. They were
really?
The FJ had a little more particulate around the one corner. I had posted that on social media and said, you know, now I know why people on the boards were saying, you know what, just do like maybe a drain every other time and a filter, you know, like a filter every other time you do a drain. Like 130,000 miles, and this filter was, to me, it looked usable. It wasn't bad. So that was curious. Maybe because Toyota puts magnets in the pan, like they put like four or five magnets in the pan to collect any old clutch material and whatnot. So,
sure,
yeah. And it is amazing when you pull that round magnet out of there; it looks like a glazed donut.
Yeah,
it literally looks like a coconut gray coconut donut. I should say it's covered in that particulate that metal, and it's so satisfying to actually get all that stuff off. You know, wipe it all off.
It is.
And go back to the original magnet again and drop it back in the pan before you send it up into the transmission again. So yeah, it's true.
You know, magnets and money, spending money with magnets in your pocket. Carl, I want to just get your impression on this.
Yeah.
Yesterday at the Barrett Jackson auction in Scottsdale, I happened to see VIN number one of the new Bronco go over the block at $1,075,000.
Yeah.
And then I didn't see it, but I saw it on social media. VIN number one of the 2022 Hummer EV sold for $2.5 million.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
I think that some of that is, I know they were doing that Scottsdale auction for charity, and they did a Mustang, they did a, don't quote me on this, but it was a Mach 1 or something. It was a limited edition Mustang. They did the Ram TRX, the 1500 TRX, VIN 1 of that.
Okay.
And I think, guys, this resurgence of the Bronco, this resurgence of the Hummer, I think there's a lot of nostalgia in here for that buying demographic. We haven't had the Bronco in a long time. We haven't had the Hummer in what, 10, 11 years now. Yeah. And now these vehicles are being reimagined for a new generation. So there are people that are experiencing the first time, kind of like how, like a young person might experience the Beatles or Led Zeppelin for the very first time, and then they become a fan. So you have a certain demographic now that they're experiencing these vehicles for the very first time. You have an older demographic that's like, wow, it's nice to have them back. And in the case of General Motors, the Hummer is really a great way to say, look, we have a lot of power, we have a lot of performance, we have a lot of capability, and it's also electrified. So the Hummer is really a good way, in my view, from my vantage point, if you're an automaker and you're really trying to sell electrification, and that electrification is the future and electrification is worth it, the Hummer is a really good vehicle to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's still a name that still has a lot of legs left in the name.
Absolutely.
So they have a lot of money invested in that name, good and bad.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a good name to use. True.
Mm-hmm. So, Carl, we got to cram a lot in here. On Automoblog recently, on your feed, there's been some great, great stories. The story about the best tires to buy, which I actually was patting myself on the back, so I picked one of the good ones without prompting. The best radar detectors. And now you had another one just the other day. What was it? Help me out here. There was just one that dropped about 2 days ago.
Anything in our research and category. So warranty and insurance. Warranties and insurance, and then maintenance guides and things like that. So like if you own a Tesla, how much does Tesla maintenance cost on average? How much does a Lexus maintenance cost? How much does VW maintenance cost, or and so on? And Ray, we had talked a little bit about this over email, and this is where because car ownership is so expensive, and even if you have a modest sedan, car ownership is an expensive endeavor by the time you have insurance and by the time you have payments or by the time you have lease payments or you're doing maintenance. And so when it comes to things like tires, for example, tires are such a huge topic. And I feel like if, as a consumer, if I were to do research on tires, I would be overwhelmed. There's all kinds of options. Yes. There's all different kinds of sizes. What do all those numbers mean? What do all those letters mean? Do I need an all season? Do I need a winter tire? Do I need an off-road tire? You know, I've heard, I'm familiar with Goodyear tires. That's the one I always see, but is that the right tire for me? Or BF Goodrich, like my neighbor has BF Goodrich, but is that the right tire for my vehicle? Like, do I need a tire that heavy duty? So these tire guides are a way to say to our readers, look, this stuff is expensive. Tires are a big expense. It always seems to catch you by surprise, and you always dread it because your mechanic says, well, you know, you're getting down there, maybe next oil change. So, you know, it's going to be expensive. Yeah. We just didn't want people to go and do that in the dark. So we have tire guides like best all season tires or best winter tires or best off-road tires. And then we go into individual brands. So if you go to our research tab, it's on the top row of our website. You go down, it's underneath things. It's going to be underneath a tab that's got buying, warranty, and maintenance. And so then we'll go through to actual individual tire manufacturers and review them. And the same with insurance companies for car insurance, the same with car warranties, extended warranties, and things like that. We just don't want people to make those major purchase decisions and not have at least some guide on how to go about doing it.
Carl, help me remember, did I see something on the site a while ago now about was it best or smart to buy used tires?
You can, yes.
Yeah,
you can.
Okay.
You can. And with some caveats, though, that you just do your research. Mm-hmm. And our recommendation for the best used tires is that the primary motivation really is to save money. Like, honestly, you do save money. But if you're just not comfortable with it, by all means, go with new tires. And I come from the dealership world and the service department where our motto was, we don't sell used tires.
Right.
Like, once tires are used or whatever, like, that's it. We only sell brand new. So I come from that mentality. But if those used tires providers, sometimes they'll have like certification tests that they do and tread depth test. They provide all of that information to a potential buyer. And as long as they do that, and as long as you're comfortable with it, yeah, you can buy a new set of tires and you can save money on that.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
And Carl, I got to hand it to you. Every time, I am such a fan of your site.
Thank you.
It is so clean. It is so precise. Everything is laid out so well to car guys and non-car people alike can easily navigate through this site. It really is. It's so impressive. And I've been stuck on your Jaguar article in the news section since we've been talking to you. It's the pictures are so rich. It really is. Well done. Well done. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, thank you. And a lot of that credit goes to my business partner with Automoblog, also named Christopher Burdick, mm-hmm. who lives in Berlin, Germany, and he is an absolute genius. And when I say genius, I do mean genius with website development, website layout and design, making sure that the page loads quickly, whether it's on mobile, whether it's on your desktop. He's just so when you see the layout of the website, I always tell people, I'm like, that's my business partner. That's Chris. That's his brainchild. And he does phenomenal at that. So the way we always say it is that he does the back end stuff, which is website design and the analytics and all of like the matrix. He's behind the scenes with all that stuff. And then I kind of do the editorial and oversee the content. But in some ways, our jobs overlap too. But I will pass that on to Chris. He will appreciate that.
Because as you were talking about the tires, I was going to where you were saying, and I had no trouble at all. Found the article, found where it was, as you were just saying it, as you were touting it.
Yeah.
I was going there, and it was happening that instantaneously. And it's very impressive. Very, very good. Right. And it's full of information, too.
Thank you.
It's easy to read, and it's easily dispensed. Well done.
Thank you. And I think our goal is to say, like with the used tires thing, is to say, look, it is an option. Here's what to look for. Here's what you should do. we really try not, like, we try to make recommendations without sounding forceful or coming across as condescending. We really want to say, look, here's a possible option for you. Here's the information. If this works, this might be a good choice for you. If it doesn't work, here might be another alternative that you could look at. And that's why we're trying to build out these buying guides and ownership guides on the site.
Yeah, good idea. Very good.
Yeah, it really is. And it's smart because, like you say, it does cost a lot of money for a set of tires. And a set of tires, yeah, can really make or break a vehicle. The wrong tires.
Well, that's why, right. Like, you know, with the SUVs, my daughter's driving this RAV4, and I knew she was, it's a four-wheel drive vehicle. She's coming up on tires again. And I knew it's going to be the better part. It's going to be between $400 and $500 for a decent street tire. And, you know, and I know she was kind of strapped. So my wife and I decided, hey, we'll extend ourselves. That'll be your Christmas present, you know? Mm-hmm. And, of course, we went to good old Joe at Tire Town and he took care of us. But, you know, and that's the thing. I know I spent over $500 on the tires that I bought for myself and, you know, those Goodyear ATXs. Like, but, you know, you want to get a good tire, and that's not the time to scrimp. That's the time to say, hey, let me save a few more bucks and get the right stuff, you know?
Right. And when I was a service advisor, you know, and things have changed a lot in 12 years since I was in a service department. But where we were at, we were GM store, Pontiac, Cadillac, Saturn, Hummer, you know, and then later Pontiac – or sorry, when Pontiac and all those brands went away, we were later Cadillac, Mercedes-Benz, BMW. But even though the BMW and Mercedes-Benz oil changes are expensive, when you're over on the Cadillac side and you're still servicing those old Pontiacs and Saturns and Hummers, those old GM vehicles, your average oil change is really about $30. So yeah. Most people have in their mind when they drive into the shop, they're conditioned, okay, this is a $30 visit. It's another maybe 10 to 15 if I have to rotate the tires. So they figure they're out of there, you know, under $50 on average for most vehicles that they're driving. And then you say, well, you need tires. And if you're in case of a Hummer, like back then it was like $800 for a set of tires. Or if you had an Escalade, like back then it was like $800-900 for a set of tires. It was $400-500 for a set of, you know, tires for your average Pontiac Bonneville or Grand Prix, right? So you go from, oh, I'm going to be $30-40 this visit to $500-700.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money, no matter how you slice it.
You know, even if you sneak over to the BMW Mercedes, you know, customer service area and drink the good coffee, you know.
Yep, right.
How much of it can you drink to offset that kind of a bill? You just can't do it.
Yeah. You just can't do it. So we don't want anybody trying to go through and navigate this in the dark. And so the buying guides are there just as a resource for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense when you know, as a consumer, what tire you want or what tire is good for you because you've done the research on autoblog.net. You know now, so you can walk into your dealership and walk up to your service guy and say, order me these tires. Let's and your conversation then gets, I guess, there's now brevity within the conversation. Right. It's, I need this, order that, boom, done, you're out the door, and no one's wasting each other's time.
Unless, Chris, you do what I did when I needed tires for my Mazda years ago, and I did my research, and you know, I was using Falcon tires for a while. I had four Falcon tires on my car.
I know. Yeah. You scare me every time you say that.
I love those Falcon tires. I really do.
I know you do, and I will never say that just because I will not. I'm not. Because I'll get cold.
But I had switched over to, I think, Goodrich or another brand. I forget what it was. And I had called our good friend Joe at Tire Town and said, hey, you know, what kind of price can you give me on, you know, on these Goodrich tires or whatever? He goes, what car are they for? I said, well, for my Mazda 3, you know. And he looked them up. And he goes, so you're talking about brevity. So Joe, in his imminent way, says to me, who told you to buy those tires? And I was like, and I'm thinking like, oh no, what did I just do? Now I'm going to make a real ass.
Yep.
I said, well, John, I did the research, and this is what I came up with going by the UTOG ratings. He goes, what do you know about UTOG ratings? I was like, listen, I Googled it.
Yeah. So.
And he said to me, he goes, well, good choice. Those are exactly the tires I was going to recommend for you.
Like, oh, fantastic.
Brevity completed.
Yeah.
So sometimes, Carl, you have to deal with the guy.
Sure,
you gotta take your lumps. You know what I mean?
Yep. And the thing we try to get across, I mean, to people who are not enthusiasts, so non-car guys, non-car enthusiasts, is that there are certain components on your car that are out of sight, out of mind. Yes. But when they become an issue, they really become an issue. So, for example, you don't do your tires every time you're in for an oil change. No. But if they wear down and you're not thinking about it, and then all of a sudden it rains, right? Now you don't have the stopping distance that you had. Mm-hmm. Your battery is one of those same things too. Battery's an out of sight, out of mind. You put it in, last 4 or 5 years, you don't think about it. But it's good. Brakes are another one too. It's out of sight, out of mind. Your serpentine belt. Your serpentine belt, such an out of sight, out of mind. But if it were to ever snap, like, you cannot drive. Like, you, yeah. You're done. Like, no matter how fancy your car is, you're done.
I'll give you the preultimate out of sight, out of mind. And I tell this to people all the time. Your brake fluid.
People,
I said, brake fluid is like blood in your body. You know it's there. You know you need it. If you see it on the ground, that's when you go, oh, my God, I have a problem.
Yep.
And it's too late.
Yep. So it's like, it's good. Rotate your tires, change your oils. But that out of sight, brake fluid is another one. Just make sure that you don't, because that stuff will sneak up on you, And there's plenty, like AAA has done plenty of research on the tires and the braking thing and the stopping distance, even at 50 miles an hour on relatively worn tires is incredible. It's like 90 feet. It's like the length of a bus. I mean, it's really substantial. So, if you have to make a big expense, we just don't want people, like I said, don't want people going at it alone.
And the other thing that piggybacks with that is check your tire pressures regularly. I've been preaching that for years, and I still do it. And people say, oh, it's easy for you to talk. Yeah, you have the motor mouse. I'm like, no, well, you know what? It's not so easy when I got to go out there, kneel down and do it on my own cars, but I do it. And then I do my wife's car, and I do the other car, and then when someone comes over to the house to visit, I do their car. And
tire pressure party.
Right.
When I was on the auto show team, I have a bunch from my dealership days. I have a bunch of tread depth gauges, a bunch of them, like in little plastic bags. So I always, every time I was on auto show, I'd travel, maybe 4 or 5 of those in my pocket, because people would ask, even though all the cars were new and shiny, people would start talking about the car that they had. They'd start asking about maintenance. Tires would come up, and I'd say, hey, here, just take this home with you. This is a, cheap tire, tread depth gauge, but it makes all the difference in the world, right? You just keep it with you and just go around. You can do it right in your garage. So, that's an inexpensive way to just keep tabs on it. It's just getting yourself a tread depth gauge and doing it at home.
Absolutely. People have trouble reading scales and interpolating scales.
Right.
And I get it. I know people don't know how to read micrometers, but for them, I actually have one at the shop. I don't know where I picked it up. It's a digital tread depth gauge. So you turn it on, you run the, actually what I do is I run the gauge part out where it's too deep, and then I bring the body down on the tire so it runs the rod back up, and you see a nice digital display of how many 32nds of an inch. That's easy. I mean, anybody can do that. And I think I got that in Walmart for probably, $5-6.
Yes, but Ray, does that digital gauge have a little sound in there that if you're below 3/32nds of an inch, it goes dun dun dun?
No, I don't know. I don't think this one makes a noise. Hey Carl, one of our listeners is asking about the old quarter, the old coin trick. Was it a nickel or a penny?
Yeah.
What was the coin that we used to use? Was it Lincoln's head?
Penny test. The penny test. Penny test.
And what was the gauge that gave you? How many 32nds? Because now I know that's changed. But
off the top of my head, I can't. If you can see, here it is. If you can see Lincoln's head, then you need to replace your tires. So I don't know if that's 3/32nds or 4/32nds, but the old adage was if you can see Lincoln's head, check with your mechanic and get a new set of tires.
Off the top of Lincoln's head. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to go. We're at the end of our rope here for today. Carl, we thank you for coming on with us.
Yeah, and always a pleasure, gentlemen.
And we will be in touch. We'll talk soon. Chris, what do we always say before we leave?
Don't follow us home and check out onlablog.net. It's an awesome site.
All right, Carl, be in touch. Talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right, guys. Bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.